Hello and welcome to Brief Bits of History. I am your host, Denise Frisino. You know, when you say the word march, your mind goes to a parade or possibly a march in the streets against something where you're coming together to express something. When you say death march, your mind goes to a funeral procession, something along those lines. Now, if you add the word baton, the Baton Death March. Hopefully, your mind goes to respect for those men who suffered and who died along that hideous experience of the Baton Death March. April 9th, 1942, World War II. You know, the Philippines were attacked the same day as Pearl Harbor. It was just because of the international timeline that there was a difference. Pearl Harbor was December 7th, 1941, and the Philippines, because of the international timeline again, was December 8th, 1942, but they happened on the same day. For 4 months, our men fought bravely, and the last place that they held out, Asia being almost all entirely taken over by the Japanese at this time, and the Philippines was actually the last place the Japanese invaded. So the last big battle was at Bataan. Corregidor would fall on May 6th of 1942. And all of these captives, POWs, both Filipino and U.S. troops, were forced down onto the peninsula at Bataan. 80,000. 80,000 POWs in one place. In fact, it was the largest surrender since the Civil War. Unfortunately, of these estimated 80,000 POWs, only 54,000 endured the 60-plus mile struggle to survive in 6 days. You know, they negotiated how the surrender would go, and that instantly fell apart. It's not known precisely how many people were there for several reasons. One, some of them were were able to escape. Those were the lucky ones. And then imagine a crowd of 80,000 in one small area. You really don't know how many troops you have. Now, the Japanese didn't have any kind of facilities for all of this, and they needed it to get them up to Camp O'Donnell. So what do? You march them by foot to lighten the load, I suppose, or just out of anger against the Filipinos. 350 to 400 Filipino officers and those immediately underneath them were taken to the Pentagon River and shot. Along this 6 days, the men would endure horsewhips, beheadings, beatings, being shot, torture, no food. One person said at the end of 2 days, they gave them what accumulated to about a small handful of rice for food. If you were lucky enough to have a canteen with any water in it, you had to sip very sparsely and not be caught by the Japanese, because one man recounted how he took out his canteen and he was taking a very measured swig when the Japanese man snuck up behind him, grabbed the canteen, and poured it into the bag for his horse so that his horse would have the water. There was something called either the Oriental sun treatment or the sun treatment. And what would happen there is they would leave you exposed with nothing on your head to protect you from the brutal sun for hours. And if you asked for water, you were shot. Or they would strip you naked and put you right next to a cool creek. And if you moved or asked for water, again, you were shot. If you fell during the march and your friends could not pick you up and drag you along with them, there was what they called the death crew behind. One man says that he couldn't figure out why the Japanese weren't doing anything to the men who had fallen. And he said it didn't take long when he heard the guns exploding behind him, and those that had fallen were summarily shot. When they got to San Fernando Railhead, then they were crammed into these World War One era tin cans of rail cars, absolutely no ventilation whatsoever. Hot, humid, up to 110 degrees inside there. And they were crammed in so tightly that they couldn't sit. They had to just stand shoulder to shoulder. And people died standing in that car. They were on it all day in the heat. And then when they got to the destination, they had to march again another 12.5 miles to Camp O'Donnell. Once inside the camp, life did not improve. They were so crammed in there that malaria and dysentery spread instantly, and the death toll every day was extremely high. At the height, the death toll was reported to have been 474 Filipino and 77 Americans passed away in one day. Now, if you were able to walk, if you had some mobility about you, you were used as slave labor. And this one man, and I love to tell this story, I've told it often, this one man would put sand in the cuff of his pants. And when he got to where they had him working, because they figured out he was a mechanist, so they had him working on machines, he would very secretively take that sand and drip it into the engine mechanism, knowing that at some point in time, that machine would freeze up and it would not be able to be used against the Americans, the Dutch, the Australians, the Filipinos, all of the allies that were fighting in the Pacific Theater at that time. So this all began on, like I said, April 9th, 1942, 60 miles, 6 days, blazing heat. Now one person, one of the ones lucky enough to escape was Major William E. Dyes. He made it to Australia and then made it home to America. Now he wrote a report. In fact, it's called the Dyes Report, but it was kept secret. President Roosevelt did not want that information out yet. He was very political in every move he made. It was very precise. He wanted the focus to remain on the European theater. So he would not let this information out. In fact, he did not let it out until January of 1944. And at that point, the minute that it was let out, Life magazine did a huge spread on the officers and the brutality that they were faced with and their sufferings along the death march and in the camps. And it did exactly what the president wanted it to do. It turned the anger and fear towards the Pacific Theater now, where he needed more support for his troops to win in that arena. You know, the Americans did without at home for the men abroad. It impacted everything. You know, people collected pots and pans. Tractors were stripped of their tires. Wine. In fact, one year they took the grapes and they made it into raisins to ship overseas. So one year we were a little bit lower on wine in this country as well. War is never easy, war is never fun, and this is not a beautiful image to be discussing, the Bataan Death March. Now, throughout the United States over the years, different plaques have been put in place and parks have been built to remember this. And of course, always in the Philippines. So if there is a wreath-laying ceremony anywhere near you, please attend, or at least remember on April 9th. The Bataan Death March. Thank you for joining me. I promise that the next topic hopefully will not be as devastating to listen to as this one has been. This is Brief Bits of History. I am Denise Versino, your host, signing off. If you would like, you could go to my webpage at deniseversino.com, where I have some photographs and some very deep history on this subject matter. Again, thank you, and bye for now.